Thank you, David. I just need to learn to focus it. Get that energy. Psalms 118:24. I knew David was going to say that one. I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful day out. I have a message that I need to hear. It will help me in my daily walk. Hopefully it'll help yours. Hopefully it'll help lift you up. Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Can you rejoice and be glad in it? Can you rejoice in the day that is in front of us? Can you rejoice in the one coming tomorrow? Do you let things get you down? I guess the phrase would be, do you let things take your joy? Yeah. Second Timothy 3. Verses 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Man, that lifts me up, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. It takes me down. I think we're in those days. I'm going to go to 2 Peter 3. You might get scriptures read more than once or twice. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 4. This second epistle, beloved, our... Yes, sorry. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of those commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walkers after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, that sounds like it lifts you up. But those are the days we're in. Those are the things that are around us. 2 John 16:33, just one verse. Or John 16:33. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, be of good cheer, because I've overcome all of this. All the things that drag us down, with everything that's going on in the world, in our country, the politics that are so divided, the hatred that comes out, disrespect, etc., all those things that drag me down. I mean, I got to be honest with you. All that stuff drags me down. I have to turn the news off regularly. I can't handle it. I get into a state I don't want to be in, and it's not joyous. And that's what I'm striving for this next year. No matter what happens around me, I'm going to try to be joyous, because I know my end game is to spend eternity with God in heaven. And that's where I need to keep my focus. No matter all the stuff that's going on, I need to keep my focus on my end game, which is heaven, and trying to be a good example of Jesus Christ each and every day. And I fail at it, but I try. So, how do you find your joy? Where do you find your joy? What gives you joy? Is it church? Church gives me joy. When I come here, I'm lifted up when I leave. I really am. I'm not here as much as I should be, but I love being here. It lifts me up. It helps me to keep myself straight. I need to hear the words. I need my toes stepped on at times. But that's a good thing. And actually, when I think about it, it helps me focus in on myself, like Paul asks, and look inward to see what I need to change about myself. And that's a good thing. Family gives me joy. We've just come through holiday seasons, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, where people gather together with their families and discuss things and eat, have parties, play games. It's enjoyable. It gives me joy. Watching my children learn new skills and to grow up, to be able to navigate this world in a good way and to have their faith in Jesus Christ, that gives me joy. Watching my grandkids even do the same thing gives me joy. Watching them learn the skills that'll take them through life and they flourish at it. And it gives me joy. The birth of a child. You know, that gives me joy. I was there for both my daughters and watched them be born. That wasn't just joy, that was elation. That feels good. It was joyous. You know, I think of I'm looking for his name here so I don't get it wrong. Simeon, there we go. Good thing I looked because I was thinking somebody else. You know, I think of Simeon when he was brought the baby Jesus and he saw the salvation of the world and he held it in his hands. And it was bad to be filled with joy. Then when I held my kids in my hands and my grandkids, I was filled with joy. But I can't imagine what it would be like knowing that you're holding the baby Jesus in your hands. Joy. John 16. Hang on a minute. John 16:19. There it is. Whoop. Hang on, wrong book. There we go. Good thing I got my cheat sheets. There we go. John 16:19. That looks better. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, they were desirous to ask him because he told them that he was going to go away for a while, but that he would be back. And they're wondering about this. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye acquire among yourselves of what I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You know, I haven't given birth, obviously. But It's a good analogy here of what it's like when Jesus is going to come back, because he's gone, but the joy we're going to have when his at his appearing. I don't know as I have words. I don't know if I have the vocabulary for how I might feel. Because right now we're going through travail in the world. We live in it. But yet, when I read it all and I hopefully I understand it all, it's going to be joyous in the end. It might not be joyous for a while, but the end is going to be joyous. If you believe in Jesus Christ and follow after him. Book of Mormon. Second Nephi. Hang on, I'll give you a chapter in a second. Page 85. If you're going in the book. Chapter 1. Second Nephi. Chapter 1, 1:11. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were after that which they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. How can you judge joy if you don't have misery at the other end? I learned in science, everything has an equal and opposite reaction. Don't know if that goes along with your feelings or not, but if you don't know misery, how are you going to know joy? And if you're joy all the time and you haven't known misery, how do you know you're joyful? You have nothing to compare it to. So misery must be a good thing, right? Because the joy on the other side of it. 1:14. For behold, all things have been done in wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be. He did fall. The verses I've read earlier, if he hadn't have fallen, we wouldn't be here. So Adam fell that men might be. Mankind might be. And men are that they might have joy. We're created here that we might have joy. It doesn't say, I'm going to give it to you. There you go. You've got joy. You're never going to have sorrow. It says you might have joy. So where does your joy come from? Jesus Christ. That's where your joy comes from. Acts 16:19. I'm hoping that I can be like Paul, to where in no matter what state he's in and what's going on in his life, he can sing praises to the Lord. Acts 16, start at verse 19. Paul's got this, they've got this soothsayer that's following them around. Uh, I'll just start at 18. And this did she many days, following Paul and his company around. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers. They didn't like it because they took away the way they made money. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. In other words, don't let them out. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. They weren't going to move very much if they had their feet in stocks. Stocks are these things you stick your feet in, and they put this piece of wood down in case you don't know what they are. And they hold your feet in there, and you can't move. Okay, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. If you're in prison and you've been beat and whipped, had your clothes taken off of you and put your feet in stocks and everything, and in the middle of prison and in the inner part of the prison, that means you're not probably able to see outside whatsoever. Can you sing praises? Man, I hope the situations that I get into in life, I'm hoping that I can remember this, and I'm hoping that I can keep my focus on my end game, which is eternity with God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every man's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. He was supposed to keep them, and he was in big trouble if they had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. And he and all his straightway. His whole household was baptized. Because of Paul and Silas and what they'd preached into him and what this jailer had seen, not only was he converted, his whole house was converted. And he took them the same, verse 34, And when they had brought them into the house, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, Let those men go. They let them go. But it's an example of people that are so focused on their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and on their God, that even though they're bound in prison, they can sing praises. They can say, Thank you. Hard to do, wouldn't it be? It would be. Knowing my natural self, my flesh that's an enemy to God, I would be grumbling. What have I done wrong? Why am I here? Why has this got to happen to me? How many times have you said that? Well, I say it more than I should. Because I get into this self-pity party. And that's not what God wants. He wants me to be joyous in knowing that He is my Lord and Savior. John 15. John 15, 1 through 11. This is the true vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing good. We need to make sure that we abide in that so that we can be like Paul and Silas and we can have that joy. If a man abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 7, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He's saying, this is where you get your joy from, is Jesus Christ. This is where you get your joy from, is in me. In the world, you won't have joy. And it's falling apart. I don't know how far into some of these prophecies we are, but I believe we are there. Don't know how long they're going to last. That's okay. I need to keep my focus on my end game, which is life with God. So maybe all this other stuff won't bother me and drag me down. And I don't get cranky and upset. And people ask me some question and I... That's not a good example, and I don't want to be that way. But I am. So I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on being better. I'm going to work on being more joyous. Because I've talked with an individual who's a member of our church. And I don't want to embarrass them, so I'm not going to say who it is. But one day they said, sometimes people ask me, how come you always have a smile on your face? And I mean, they're a business person. They have stresses I don't know about and stuff. And he said, well, it's because I know my Savior, Jesus Christ. And he does. He's almost always got a smile on his face. Philippians 4, I think this is going to be my theme this year, if you want to call it that. I don't make resolutions because they always fade away. As much as I try, I'm serious, I don't make it past March. Philippians 4, start at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord, or... Man, I'm not reading good, am I? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what I'm going to try to focus on this year, is on the good things. I know the bad's out there, and I know I'm going to see it, and I know I'm going to get down. But I'm going to try not to stay there. I want my countenance to reflect the joy I have in Jesus Christ. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherewith ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That's what I want to do. I want to be content in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on. I know both how to be abased, that means brought low, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my hope is at. And that brings me joy. Because I know He's going to do all things for my good. Whether He's chastising me, lifting me up, because we all need chastisement. You have to admit, we all need chastisement. Because we're fleshly and we do things wrong. But it's a learning experience. I have to remember not to stay there. I have to remember that when I get chastised by the Lord, that's a good thing. Because He cares about me. If He didn't care about me, and I have to remember this when people correct me. If they didn't care about me, they wouldn't correct me. If they didn't love me, they wouldn't correct me. And that's why I give all of you accountability. If you see me doing something that's not right, say something to me. Yeah, I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to feel bad not because you saw it. I'm going to feel bad because I did it. I'm going to end on one verse, Romans 15:13. And you might get a testimony. Romans. Bad at that today. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That's where it comes from, is the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus Christ. And the joys that come with knowing Him. Knowing that He came as my Savior, personal. The same with each and every one of you. That's where the joy's at. And I got to remember that. That's where my joy's at. You know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, I'm going to end here. What were my greatest joys? You know, one of my joys was marrying my wife, but honestly, it wasn't one of my greatest joys. But the thing is she was with me for both of the greatest joys I can remember. Number two, my children being born. That was joyful. That was an experience. This one's so joyful, it's hard to hold it in. That's when I was baptized. Man, that wasn't just joy, that was elation. I mean, after it was all over with, all the logistics of going down into the water and all that, being reborn and all that. That was wonderful, and I can remember praying about and receiving the Holy Ghost. And there were some other miracles that went on there. I don't know if Alvin will remember it, but we had a conversation in our heads that nobody heard. And it was real. But when I was home, by myself, in my bedroom, I have full-length mirrors on my closet door, and I'm looking at that, And I'm crying my eyes out because I feel so good. And I remember saying, I feel so clean. And that's the greatest joy I ever felt in my life. And it came from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm hoping that we can remember that all the things that are going out there in the world, there is joy in our Savior. Thank you.